Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hello, hello, hello. We are here.
Hello.
We are here. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let me back up. All right, look out.
All righty. Well, hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. It's been a crazy week. That's actually been a crazy month, hasn't it?
It has been.
It's
Ooh,
been
a whirlwind.
We have been swamped. We've got so many things going on, track and field wise, from our youth track team, our high school track team. We're just across the board with everything going on. We told you last week we're going to have a show about recruiting, and we are going to talk about recruiting today. However, and the funny part, we talk about it, when we're talking about recruiting, Coach Rico was supposed to join us this evening and talk about recruiting. What happened was one of our athletes was actually had an in-house visit tonight, and so he is there with the athlete helping them, guide them through the in-house visit,
yes,
which is part of some of the things that we do as far as coaches and recruiting. We don't just coach the kids. Our group doesn't just coach the kids. We're there with them every step of the way to help guide them, because some of them don't have that understanding of what it goes through. Each of us has had an athlete that has been recruited, had those types of things going on, and we understand how difficult it is, some of the pressures that go through with some of that stuff. Some of the and the athletes, they like the attention, but they get very nervous and sometimes get very scared and tend not to be themselves when the coach comes to visit. And we try to help guide them through and saying, hey, we want you to be yourself. We want you to understand that they want to see who you are. They don't just want to see you on the track or whatever the sport may be. They want to see who you are.
And it's almost kind of like an interview process.
Yes, yes.
So it does kind of make them a bit nervous. And one good thing that we try to, you know, I guess, enable them to do is that when these coaches come, first thing out your mouth should not be talking about the money. Okay, you know, because the truth be told, that's ultimately what we want to know as parents. And absolutely, you know, of course, as the athlete as well. But, you know, you want to learn a little, you know, have done your research on the school. You want to make sure that, you know, that you have particular questions, you know, lined up for that coach to understand what, not only just what can I do for your program, but what can your program do for me?
Because
you know, you want to make sure that you position yourself to be able to make, you know, to have options and to be able to weigh the options based on the information that you know about the team or the school and how it can actually benefit you more so than how you can benefit that particular school.
You're absolutely right. And then there's the cases where the kids know nothing about the school.
Right.
Know absolutely, positively nothing about the school, what their academics, what their strengths are in academics, or even their track program. But the kids, again, we're talking about 16, 17-year-old children who are, and again, remind you, they're children, folks.
Right.
They are not adults, and their minds don't think that way. Most of them truly believe they like the attention, and they crave that attention that someone is showing them for something they've done. So they don't always do the research. They're just saying, hey, big time school is coming to talk to me. I'm so happy. Do you know anything about the school? No, I don't know anything. Do you know where the school is? No, I don't know. I just know big time school is coming to talk to me.
Right.
And I want them to come talk to me. So they get excited, but don't understand everything that's a part of being recruited.
Right.
So we were really anxious to have Coach Rico talk about it because the NCAA dead period is coming again in a couple of weeks. And we had talked about what happens during the summer and these things that are going on right now. But like we said, he is actually at a recruit's house right now, helping them get through a visit, an in-house visit from a coach. So we're going to talk a little bit about those types of things. But we're going to give you just a hodgepodge. Shout out to you, Patrick. Hodgepodge of things that are going on in track and field, especially with us recently, because like I said, we have been in and out. We've got so many things going on from our track and field standpoint. That, and we haven't been able to catch you up on everything. We talked a little bit about professionals, Diamond League, and the under 20. But as far as we're concerned, we'd like to tell you about some of the things, the great things that have been going on for us. We were just today, we were mentioning a couple of our athletes that came through our program, the Richmond Heat program, India Lowe and LaChina Rowe. India Lowe and LaChina Rowe.
I'm not even realizing.
I know. I'm not even are home. And usually we don't get to see them that much because they are athletes at Duke University, University of Tennessee, and so often we don't get to see them. Well, they're actually home, and we are hoping we can get them on the show to talk to you about being a collegiate athlete and what they've done coming through the programs and the programs they've gone through. And so we want to give you and we want to talk a little bit about them because we are so, so proud of the work they've done and what they've been able to accomplish. Tanae's home too.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Tanae's home. Alexis is home.
Yeah.
Again, Alexis is home.
Alexis, we need to grab a couple of those.
Yeah, and the only reason I mentioned India and China because India Lowe and LaChina Rowe. Yes, that's what they didn't make it up. That's their names. I want to talk about India and China because one for the accomplishment. You know, they've all been very established and done real great things. But these two in particular, one, they're seniors.
Right.
They're going to graduate next year, which
that's
is
that's amazing.
Which
I can't believe
kind of shows her age, but
wait a minute, excuse me. You know, I have a daughter in that category as
Yeah, you do too. So don't.
No, wait a minute. Hold up. My daughter's going to be a junior.
Okay.
Year.
Oh, yeah, 1 year younger.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, I'll take it.
So, but what we're saying is they have been with our program, I mean, since they were little.
Right.
So we wanted to, you know, give you an idea of what this program is about and some of the things that's going on and wanted to get it from the athletes themselves. We can tell you about it all day long, and we're trying not to be biased, but we'd like you to hear from some of our athletes who've gone through our program and what they're doing. And mentioning the tongue twister, as Reggie said, India Lowe and LaChina Rowe. India, then, again, she'll be a rising senior at Duke University. She'll be graduating next year from Duke University.
And still an honor student.
Still an honor student.
Yes, yes.
So, so we're so proud of her. But she's been to Eugene and NCAA championships for the last all 3 years, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She's been to NCAA championships all 3 years, her time at Duke University.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so we thought about somebody who was started at a young age, was a really good hurdler, made a name for herself in the hurdles, established herself in the triple jump as well.
Yeah, yeah. And now she's actually going back to triple
and going back to triple. And she's not, really, she's going back to triple jump?
I mean, long jump.
Long jump, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Trying not to be biased. We're trying. But India, again, she was in high school. She was one of the best hurdlers. She was one of the best triple jumpers in our area coming through our program and had many offers and chose Duke University, not because of an athletic scholarship. She chose because she got a full ride academically to Duke University.
Yeah.
She runs track, but she got a full ride academically to Duke University. I mean, that's just amazing. And she's still an honor student down at Duke University. So we're so proud of her. But her, you know, she did it in track and field. Like I said, she was one of the best hurdlers around. And we took her down to AAU Club Championships a few years ago. Her junior year.
Yeah, we like to think it was a few years ago.
Yeah,
like,
we'll just say a couple,
4 or 5 years ago.
It was a couple. It was a couple years ago. It was just a couple years ago. And, you know, we kind of forget some of the things. It was a couple years ago.
I think I just posted them.
Don't put that picture.
No, not that one. The one of the relay.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So we took them down to club championship, and again, we're talking about this group, this monster group of girls we had, class of 15, and took them down to club championships, and they literally came back as the club championships 15-16 age group winners, and I think we took, what, 7 girls? Seven of them, right?
Yeah.
Seven girls. We took 7 girls down, and they came back as the AAU club championship winners of their age division 15-16. With just 7 girls against, you know, multiple teams across the country. We had 7 girls down there. India came in 4th in the 100 hurdles and won the 400 hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time she had run the 400 hurdle. So we taught her over the summer before then, getting her ready to get to go. And she came out and ran that 57. She ran 57 those 400 hurdles. And everybody took notice. And when she came back her senior year, she had big, yes.
That was 2013.
Yes, yes. So we took them down there, and she came back and was noticed. And teams did not realize, they realized how good she was, but didn't realize the academic side. And we started stressing the academic side, which Coach Rico talks about, the academic side. She didn't even have to get an athletic scholarship. She went to Duke University on a full academic ride, and so she didn't even have to run track if she didn't choose to. But of course, she loves that the sport, so she does run. And she's been to NCAAs 3 years in a row,
yeah.
And hopefully, if she'll be going to fourth. In addition, India will be traveling to India in next week or 2 weeks from now. And a couple of weeks from now is one of her school missionary types of things, where she'll actually go to India and teach track and field to young people in the country of India. So we're just so proud of what she's doing and all the things she's accomplished. And again, keeping those grades and honor student at Duke University and going to NCAAs 3 straight years, freshman, sophomore, junior year. We're just so proud of her and amazed. So we love to talk about what some of those things she's doing. I'm going to leave the next one over to Donna. And I might have to get some tissues because she'll boo-hoo.
I am not. I'm over the boo-hoo
Okay,
phase
you
right
sure?
Now. I think.
Okay, she's going to talk about LaChyna. And I bet you she boo-hoo.
I will not.
Watch.
No, but China.
Only because I
said
so.
I know. You know, like I get, I'm strong like that. but, yeah, so, again, China was actually my very first triple jumper. Mm-hmm. And, gosh, what was that back in 2010? Like, I think it was 2010. If I'm not. Was that 2010?
Anyway.
I think it was one because that was the year we got the medals.
Yes, 13-14. Yep, 13-14.
Wow. 13-14. Yeah,
sure
it was 2018. Yeah, so 13, that was 2010 when she was the first triple jumper. And first year triple jump and convincing her to triple jump from being a long jumper previously and continue to be a long jumper. Mm-hmm. And went out there first year, boom, and won national. And I mean that broke me down. This
is her first year ever trying triple jump.
Right.
And Coach Donna took her aside, started teaching her triple jump, and here she is learning it during the year. And we go to the nationals, AU Junior Olympics, and her first year out there, she wins nationals.
So from there, it's like the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
So you would think. Then she got into high school, about a year or so later.
2 years later.
After that, yep. And then she wasn't initially doing triple jump in high school. I'm like, wow, why aren't you triple jumping? She never told her coach that she was a triple jumper. So all the time she's like doing long jump and hurdles and, you know, doing other events and everything. Eventually, she got back around to doing triple jump before all was said and done. Went on to be state champion a couple times. As Coach Lewis mentioned, we were involved with all of their recruiting process from when, you know, they, as a result of being a great triple jumper, along with other events, because she was also a kid who had competed in all of the different events and played nationally every time.
That's right.
In the pentathlon as well as the heptathlon.
Yes, she did.
So again, garnered the attention of honors and which got her attention for many schools, including Brown. I remember Brown.
Brown really wanted her
to recruit her as well. She went down to South Carolina, up to Ohio, I think,
Louisville,
a couple different places, but decided to take her talents to University of Tennessee. So these past first two years were a bit challenging.
Yes.
She was not really progressing. She wasn't going backwards. She was still over 40 feet, but just not getting to where we always knew she had the potential to get to. Because she was already going 40 feet in the 10th grade.
Right.
So that itself is almost unheard of, you know,
until
a lot of times. Not these days.
Lord have mercy.
But long story short, this year has just been amazing. Has just been absolutely amazing for her.
Awesome.
Yeah, she did. I mean, she just kept getting better and better. Went on and broke the school record twice, jumping over 44 feet. I think that last one was 44.1.
No, 44.6.
Was it the 6?
44.6.
Did they count that one though with the wind factor? I think
I
it did.
They did. I think
yeah,
they did.
That was,
I think
you know
did.
What it did?
Mm-hmm.
It did. It did. She had gone, yep.
We're talking about the University of Tennessee.
Yep, so she broke
that. Southeastern Conference, SEC. She jumped 44-6.
And broke that record. And the crazy part about it, though, is that that still didn't even win her conference. In her conference with that
jump. Oh, my God.
Like that.
But you know why? Because the girl from Georgia is one of the best triple jumpers in the world.
True.
She's one of the best triple jumpers in the world. So, I mean, we said, she came in fourth? It was like, oh, that's why.
With her.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
I forgot about her.
Yeah, her and Tori Franklin. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but the good part about it, though, I mean, she just, if nothing else, it built her confidence back.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we talk about all the time, we talk about mental toughness. One of the things that she has it, you know, along with India and some of the other girls that we've mentioned, they have it. And I think that it is a direct result of coming up through our program, Richmond Heat, not to knock the high schools or anything like that, but they got it at a very young age.
Yes.
They had the mentality. They had a winning mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would shock them not to win.
Mm-hmm. And they had Yin and Yang. They had me yelling at them, and she patting them on the back. But they learned, we're talking about their class of 15, was just a absolutely wonderful class.
Just amazing.
Strong, physically, mentally tough, and did they show on the track what they could do.
Right.
But actually, they crossed many sports that class.
Yeah.
Because they were just a wonderful class. But they came through our program as 7 to 8 year olds and going through and learned, you know, what it takes to be a pretty good athlete and what it takes to be at the best and competed at the highest levels all the way through. They didn't just compete locally. They went to national meets every single year.
Every year.
And placed every single year. They were always in the mix the whole time. And you learn and realize. And the other thing they did, not only did they place it, they made so many friends from across the country. You know, and you know we have social media now and all those things, but it wasn't as big. We're talking 10 years ago. You know, things just blow up. So we're talking 10 years ago, 10 years ago. And these kids are meeting kids from California and Louisiana and Texas and Maine and Washington State and all these things. And they keep friends with all of them. All the people they competed against, and when they've gotten to college, it's like, well, you know, well, this girl's great. Well, oh, yeah, well, I've been competing against her since I was 10 years old. I know who she is. I know what she's good at. I know what she's bad at. I'm not afraid, and this stage isn't too big for me. And that's what they've all shown, and that's what we're so proud of.
What's always funny to me, though, that crazy child of mine was Lila.
Uh-huh.
And Lila was right on up there. She chose volleyball and all, but at one point she was pretty darn good with track.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have her favorites and track her idols, so to speak, who were her own age.
Yes.
But nonetheless, these girls were, you know, the national champs and this, that, and the other. So she would come back, oh, my God, so-and-so just spoke to me, and she knew my name. I said, why wouldn't she know your name? She don't know me. Why would she know me?
Yeah.
You're All-American,
too,
just like she knows her. I said, trust me, people are going to always know their competition. And so, yes, these girls, you know, they were household names as well.
Yes.
And with LaChyna, she went on further to the, what was it, the championship, the 20, the under 20?
No, this year. She didn't go to the under 20 because that's what we asked her. Said, why didn't she go?
Yeah, right. She didn't go.
We thought she was going to go to the under 20. What she actually did was went to the USA Championships.
Yes, exactly.
She went to the USA Championships. So we were just blown away because we kept saying, why isn't China at the U20? China at the U20 was because China qualified for the United States Outdoor Championships. So China competed at the Outdoor Championships, and we have her with her medal, and she came in sixth in the triple jump.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, so we're just
goodness.
Here it is, a child who started with us, you know, at such a young age, come through the program, going off to college, about to be a senior in college, about to graduate and go do big things in veterinary science and all stuff. And she wants to do some of these great things. But here she is, one of our kids, competing at the USA Outdoor Championships, and she came in sixth. So we're just so excited, so happy, so proud. And we really hope that we can get them on so they can tell you their experiences from youth all the way through, because – we can say and we can show, we can stick our chest out and be so happy and show, but they can tell you what it does to have that type of program that gets you through. Because we honestly, folks, this group of kids, they were mentally tough, but the stage was never too big for them.
Right.
The stage was never too big for them because they had competed since they were 8 years old on the biggest stage.
Right.
So when they got to high school, stage wasn't too big. When they moved on to college, stage isn't too big. They understand what it is, and the people they're competing against are people they know and are basically friends with.
That's it.
So it's one of the things that we have a challenge with some of our high school kids now who didn't come through our program, because they have to learn that stage part, that mental toughness part.
Right.
Because they're just getting to that where people know who they are. They're just getting to that point where, hey, such and such is doing it, you know, Will and Kayla and Tasia and Cam and all the rest of them are now at that stage where people know who they are when they
right.
step on the track.
Right.
And it's a new thing for them. And they're still learning how to adjust to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will always be advocates for youth track because it does set them up for going
it
forward.
Does.
And in addition to the youth track setting them up for going forward in high school and college, it actually helps get them recruited later down the road, because some of our kids didn't realize how good they had been or how good they were going to be until they went to some of these national stages. And there were actually coaches there saying, hey, what's this kid's name? What
right.
are they going to be?
Right.
Here's my card. You know, keep me in touch
yeah,
with this
they're
kid.
They're at the USACF
yes.
National Qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
They'll definitely be at Nationals
yep.
next week,
mm-hmm.
you know. Colleges, and I mean, not just the local schools.
That's right.
We had coaches up from different places. They could not talk to the
mm-hmm.
kids directly at
mm-hmm.
that time,
mm-hmm.
but they were definitely there with their notes
mm-hmm.
talking to us as
mm-hmm.
coaches,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just, you know, getting ready for their recruitment
yes.
process.
I mean, Jalen is we can talk about, he was another one. He was the only guy in that class of
yeah.
15 we had.
Jeremy
was the next year. Yeah, he's
you're
the next
right,
class.
Right.
Jalen was the only guy in that class of 2015. He was the prom guy.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, bless his heart. He went to at least three different proms.
He was a prom guy, but Jalen was a great athlete. Tried to play football.
Lord.
Yeah,
that's a whole other story.
He tried to wrestle.
Jalen, I didn't know he wrestled.
Yes. Jalen's
oh,
6'4".
Right.
And 175 pounds, he ain't wrestling nobody. He can't even wrestle a pole, whatever the case may be. But he tried to wrestle, and he finally found his niche on the track. Yes, great exposure to all the USA program, absolutely. And so Jalen found his niche on the track and field, but he wasn't sure of himself. Remember, he wasn't really sure what he could do.
Right.
He was trying high jump, he was trying triple jump, he was trying long jump, he was trying sprinting. And we said, well, let's try to hurdle. We're going to get you in the hurdle. I'm going to teach you how to hurdle. And that same year they won.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the first year or the second year he went with us?
The second year.
Went down.
Yes.
We took Jalen with us down to club championships.
Florida.
Yep. And put him in the hurdles, 400 hurdles. Put him in the open 400, which he's pretty good at. And the 400 hurdles. He had never run the 400 hurdle before until the practice we did over the summer. Got him down there. He ran 55, the very first time he ever ran the 400 hurdles. Ran 54 in the finals. Came in fifth in the finals against and behind four guys who got full scholarships and who are running
right
on the track circuit across the world today.
Mm-hmm.
This is the people he competed against and what he did. And there were many coaches there who said, hey, who is this kid? Where did he come from?
Right.
And once he did that and he had that exposure, remember he came back his senior year and he said, man, I've been at the top of the world.
That's right.
I can run with everybody. And he only had one person he had to compete against the rest of the year, which is her favorite person, Grant Holloway. That's who he was competing against the rest of the year, but he wasn't afraid of the stage anymore. He
right.
understood what it was, and he knew he could compete with Grant, and he raced Grant, you know, toe-to-toe on many occasions his senior year,
mm-hmm.
chasing on Grant. When Grant was showing the world just how great he was, there was Jalen, you know, not more than a step behind him and saying, I can get him, I can get him, I can get him. But that gave Jalen the exposure
right.
and got coaches looking at him. And where when he was graduating, he had several offers he got to choose from. and he was able to go to school for free because of those things. And that's because, again, we took him over summer, found something for him to do, found something that he was good at, made him realize that he could. He found out stage isn't too big, and he took it over through his senior year, and boom, there we go. And now Jalen's going to East Regionals, running the best, running great times at Norfolk State University, and we're expecting big things out of him his senior year too. Another one graduating. So that's what we talk about. That's, you know, we talk about that not just to talk about our program, but how it helps in recruiting, because there were a lot of coaches who saw him down there against, again, there were four guys ahead of him who had full scholarships, you know, running on the circuit at the Diamond Leagues and things of that nature right now that he competed against. You know, they're moving on. They've left school and moved on and running on the circuit. And here he was, and he's right there with them the very first time he ever run it. So, I mean, we can just say all the great things that he's done. We're so proud of him as well. So that's a little bit of when we talk about youth track and field and recruiting. We'll give you a little update of some of the recruiting we're talking about. Like I said, we have been swamped, absolutely swamped with recruiting. We have, how many? We have Cam.
Let's
see. Cam, Kayla.
Key.
Will. And Tasia.
Is it just
those ones? Is it just them?
Mainly.
Just mainly them. So I think four or five of them that at the beginning of the year, very few people knew much about any of them.
Right.
I mean, really, they were on the sidelines. They weren't the people that anybody was talking about. No one was looking at them recruiting-wise. And then they had a great, great year in high school.
Awesome season.
And,
oh, my goodness.
And as the season progressed from the indoor, where they first the girls were doing so many things in the relays, where they went up to Melrose and did great things at Melrose.
Yep.
And had was one of the they finished number 8 in the nation in the 4x4 relay indoors. So they were, 352, I think. 352. They set school record, but ran 352 or 3, something like that. A really fast time indoors and got all this exposure, especially Tasia, Cam, and Kayla. In the meantime, not only from the relay standpoint, but Kayla, again, one of her favorites, showed her progression from what she was doing last summer. She took it to another level going into indoor season. And jumping from going from somebody who was just jumping 32, 33, 34 to 36, 37 feet, and she could do it with ease, and she was really comfortable with it. And not only did she do that, she couldn't stand a long jump last year.
I know.
Couldn't stand a long jump.
I couldn't believe that.
And only jumped,
what
was it, 14 feet last year?
Yeah.
She was only jumping 14 feet, and by the end of the indoor season, she was jumping over 17 feet.
Yeah, right at 18, 17, 11.
Yeah, so again, these are kids who were basically on the sideline, and just a little backstory, they're in the class of 19, which has to be one of the most loaded classes of high school athletes that are going to be coming out next year that you will ever see. A good example, Tia Jones. She is a senior. She will be a senior next year, and she just won the world under 20.
She had graduated. Running forever.
What does Lila always say? Tia Jones, come little Tia Jones. Like, I know Lila. Tia Jones. Well, Tia Jones will be a senior this year and she is one of the best hunter hurdler there is. Again, she is 17, 18 years old. And she runs 13.
Oh my God, and a sweetheart. A very sweet girl.
She ran 13:01 to win the race in Finland at the under 20 World Championships in under 20 at 13:01. Again, she's in that class. Corey's in the class. That class
oh, yes.
is today's
Corey
in the class.
Oh, yes.
Adriana's
oh,
in the class.
God.
That class is so loaded. So when you have that type of talent and that caliber of talent in class, it's easy to get lost and being lost in the shuffle and, you know, but didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
These young men and women, Kayla, Tasia, Cam,
yep, right on up.
Will, Keontae, put themselves in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Through this year, this indoor and outdoor season, put
and
them
not just at small schools like South Carolina, Louisville,
yeah.
like they're looking.
They have
big
put themselves in the conversation as some of the best in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
They were people. They were afterthoughts at the beginning of the year, and now they're some of the best in the nation. Yes, some of the best in the nation of what they've been doing as they accomplished it. While in doing that, though, and then we just mentioned again, they have to learn how to be on that big stage.
Right, right.
And this is something, this has been a process that we've gone through this entire year, from indoor season through outdoor season into nationals, because they are, they did not realize, first of all, they didn't realize, even though we knew.
Right, right.
And we tried to explain to them and tell them, they didn't realize just how good they could be,
mm-hmm.
and what they were capable of doing, what they were doing. So
right.
when they started getting to the point where they started realizing it, and they started getting it, of course, we're talking about teenagers. Sometimes, you know, woo, you know, and they get a little complacent. But also, now that you're a little bit known, and people, like we just mentioned, like
right.
when Leela said, how would she know me? How would they know me? Well, guess what? These kids were going through the same thing and as juniors in high school. So it's such a new experience that I don't think they were really ready for it. You know, I think they all got a little shell-shocked, and they got, you know, they were mauled to a flame. Yeah, they got mauled, they were mauled to a flame because they were getting that exposure and getting used to it, but they didn't realize what it takes to stay there.
Right.
Because they weren't just the hunt, they weren't the hunters anymore. They were the hunted.
Right.
And they knew who, and people knew who they were. When they walked in the track, hey, Will, how's it going, Will? Hey, Kayla. Hey, and, huh? How do they know me? They know you.
Right.
They've seen your time. They've seen you run. They know
right.
what you're capable of doing. You're not going to sneak up on anybody anymore,
mm-mm.
period.
Mm-mm.
We know for a fact that one of the best teams in our state looked at our team and said, we've got to change our strategy to beat them, remember?
Right, right.
We have to change our strategy to beat them because they realized how good our kids were getting. We knew how good our kids were getting. They didn't understand it. And when the stage got there, they didn't realize what it takes to stay there and what
mm-hmm.
it be what it takes to be the hunted. And again, our other kids who had gone through our program and had been at the top of the stage had no problems with it. They like, no big deal. I go and do what I do.
Right.
Here I am.
Like when we see Corey at
yes.
track,
mm-hmm.
Corey is always cool as a cucumber.
Yes. She's all about business.
She's
she
having
knows.
Herself a good time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She's coming to win. That you know, she's here on a business trip.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She's coming to win, socialize a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
going home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
So she's not checking for anybody. She's not looking for butterflies in her stomach.
Nope.
She knows who they are.
Yes.
She knows exactly.
Right. And she knows they know who she is.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She knows exactly who her competition is and
mm-hmm.
all of that. But when she comes, it's like she's not ever surprised to win.
Right. Correct.
She's ever shocked to not get first place.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
And
yes.
it's like, wait a minute. When? Okay, and then she got to break it all
mm-hmm.
the way down because she comes in with the expectation to win.
Mm-hmm.
She is the hunted, but she is fully aware of who's hunting her.
Who's hunting her, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She knows who she's got to compete against. She knows what she has to do to win. She knows what the stage is like, and she's ready for it. And she goes out and performs. And part of that is being the fact that, again, as a youngster, she was in the program. She went to national stage. She competed at the highest level since she was 10 years old, doing these things, showing what she was capable of. And when she got to high school, stage wasn't too big
right.
for her.
It's nothing. She's
gonna go,
nothing.
She's
been
know?
Making All-American since elementary school.
Exactly. You know, in two sports. So it's not like, I mean, she was. If we tell you, you're talking about a monster soccer.
A student. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. If you want to talk about a monster soccer
and
student.
She played basketball.
Oh, my God. Corey was so good at 12 mm-hmm. years old. They were trying to put her on the U-16 and U-18
yeah.
teams
yeah.
Nationally. That's how good she was in soccer. She
even
was
when she,
a
even
beast.
When she first got to Nansen River,
uh-huh.
even Coach B was like, man, I saw her play soccer. She was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to compare
yeah,
her.
I know.
To
oh,
like,
my
oh,
God.
She
was
strictly focused on track.
She was absolutely one of the best. But, as I said, the stage was never too big for her. And now, here it is, her rising senior, again, that class of 19. God, what a
ooh,
monster,
and
monster
she's a, not, only is, not only is she a beast in track, she's a straight-A student.
Yes. Oh, my God,
straight-A
yes.
student.
We're not talking about, you know, 90, 91. We're talking 95, 96, 97. I mean, truly one of the brains of brains. And she's just the nicest young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these days, I'm going to be proud of her.
One day. She's waiting on it. She is waiting on it, bless her heart.
But,
she's like, what do you have to say?
not good enough. Keep working. But she's getting, we're talking about recruiting. Whoo, boy, oh boy. Called Coach Rico about Corey and just the letters and the offers she's gotten.
Anywhere she wants to go.
She's another one of those children who was basically, if she wanted to, she said, nah, I'm just going to take an academic.
She could.
And she will. And I know she's got some wonderful choices out there. I wish we could talk about them, but I don't want to put anything out there. But she's got some wonderful, wonderful choices.
And even
she
if
does,
she chooses one of the Ivy League schools that does, you know, do not offer, you know, athletic scholarships, she's definitely going to be covered with an academic.
Yeah, and that's the greatest thing about for her.
You know, enable her to be able to compete.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. The greatest thing for Corey is it doesn't matter. You know, the track stuff doesn't matter. Her brain will take her wherever she wants to go, to any school in this country, if she chooses to. You know, so she can tell any track coach, no thanks. I'm going to go such and such because, you know, these people are offering me an academic scholarship because of my brain.
Yeah.
So she has double the offers, you know, because of her brain. And we try to tell every athlete out there, you know what, recruiting, you need to maximize your exposure. And the best way to maximize your exposure is in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good you are on the track, if you show what you can do in the classroom, you win. You're an absolute winner. If they can say, wow, I can get this on the track, but my goodness, what they do in the classroom.
Right.
You know, you can open doors for schools that you probably wouldn't even think would open doors for you and say, hey, we'd like you to run track, but you don't have to. We can just have you just come to our school and use your brain. We'll give you the money to use your brain to go to our school.
Really?
Yes.
And then the other part of that is that sometimes track is one of those sports, since it's not really a big revenue earning sport, it doesn't always give 100%.
Right.
Right. So by having the great grade, you know, you position yourself to be able to supplement your scholarship should you not get 100%, which a lot of track kids don't
get
100%.
That's right.
You position yourself to supplement the additional amount that needs to be paid by getting academic money.
Absolutely.
Because the name of the game is not to pay, it's to be able to pay the minimum, the least amount.
The least amount of money.
You know,
yes. You want to go to school for the least amount of money. And what's the least you can get? Zero.
Right.
And if someone says, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, if my school costs $30,000 and this school is going to give me, you know, $5,000 academically, but going to give me $5,000 on the track, but $25,000 academically, and I'm going to school for free?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm done. No problem. Or the school says, hey, we're going to give you a full scholarship, everything paid for, $30,000 academically. You don't even have to use a track scholarship. Oh.
And
even
that
better.
That makes the track program, because then they can actually give someone else a scholarship because you only get but so many.
But here's the other thing about that. Here's the greatest thing about that from the athlete. That puts you in charge.
Right.
Because now you hold the key to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's like if the track coach, look, I need you to track more. You're not giving me a scholarship. I got an academic scholarship. I need to go to class. You know, you're not going to pressure me because you can't take away my scholarship.
And in the event that you have an injury or, you know, just whatever, you know, your performance may drop, you know, that happens a lot.
Yeah. Or the biggest thing is like you get to school and say, I really
want
to come to school.
Right.
I want to come to school. I do. I want to go to school to be this, and this is what I need to do.
Right.
And track or whatever sport may be taken away. You want to be a doctor, and you've got to go to these classes, and you've got to kill these kind of grades, and you can't do that amount of studying because you've got to spend 20 hours or 22 hours on the track where you need to be in the classroom.
That's right.
Hey, that's true, too. Refund check, absolutely. But if you need any, you say, look, you know what? If you got an academic scholarship and they say, hey, you pay for free. Sorry, coach, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be a doctor and I need to do this. I'm not running anymore. What's the coach going to say? Well, you're on an academic scholarship.
Right.
Can't take it away.
Right.
So be it. Goodbye. If you want to run, you run. If you don't, you don't. And it's the thing. So maximize your exposure by doing your things you can do in the classroom. It's the easiest way. Honestly, it's the easiest way to get to school.
Right.
It's to maximize your exposure in the classroom. Classroom will always supersede track or the athletics every single day. maximize your exposure by doing what you need to do in the classroom. And parents, explain to them, stress to them, the classroom, the easiest path, the straightest path to going to getting a scholarship, academics,
mm-hmm.
not athletics. Let athletics be the icing. Let the academics be the cake, and then you'll be good to go.
Ooh, I like that.
That's what it has to be. We got to explain to it. We got to explain to these people. And honestly, that's the point. You know, like I said, Coach Rico is at a recruit's house right now, and I don't know if you heard.
What?
This is even better than this one. This recruit, he's at a recruit's house right now, and again, and explaining recruiting, and we have a coach visiting. The parents are excited, athlete excited, but the parents are so excited. I mean, so excited. They invited the entire neighborhood to the house.
What the world? I missed that one.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They invited the entire neighborhood to the house because the coach was coming to meet the child and the athlete to run, you know, to try to get them to come to the school. Parents, I know you're excited. I know you're happy.
I missed that one.
I know you want to say, my baby's doing this, and you know that. I understand, but there are some do's and don'ts. And, you know, some of it is just. Absolutely. But the other thing, some of the do's and don'ts, and it's not, we're happy, and you know, we know you're proud of your athlete, and you're proud of seeing it, but don't inundate a coach with, you know, 90 people in the house. You know, the coach is coming to meet you, the parent, the parents and the athlete, and get a feel for the parents and the athlete.
Right.
If there's 45, 50, 60 other people in the house, and they're inundating the coach with questions or asking all the stuff, or can we take a selfie and things of that nature, please don't. Can we take a selfie with the coach and all stuff? How is the coach going to learn about the athlete and the family that surrounds the athlete? You're not giving the athlete, you know, the exposure that they want to give, and giving the coach the opportunity to speak in the sense that he wants to learn the athlete and the family. Be mindful. You know, if you want grandma there, fine. But don't invite cousin from here and auntie from there and uncle. It's an in-house visit, and hopefully they'll get more than one. And you want to give your kid an opportunity to be themselves. Because you got all those people, first of all, more than likely the kids are like, oh, my God, why did mom do this? Why did dad do this? And they're a little embarrassed, and they may not speak the way you want them to speak to the coach.
Oh, my God.
And the coach, and you know, and the coaches understand. They've seen all this stuff before.
Oh, they really have.
They've seen it all before.
Gosh,
but
they've gone in.
Yes, they've seen some stuff. But at the same time, it doesn't give the coach the opportunity to say, hey, athlete, let me tell you about my school. Let me tell you. And tell me what you're looking for and all this other thing when they're getting inundated with, so what's your program like? What's the football program like? Man, I heard such and such. Y'all put a lot of people in the NFL. And the coach is like,
we talking about track.
Yeah, I'm a track coach.
Right. I mean, what you want to
play? Why is such a play? I'm the track coach. I coach track. I don't have anything to do with the football or the basketball program.
People do it.
People ask it. And when the more people you bring in there, the less time your child has to talk with a coach and get that one-on-one personal going back and forth with the coach. So be mindful. We know you're proud. We know you're happy. But give the coach a chance. Don't have the whole neighborhood in the house.
Oh yeah, I missed that.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This happened tonight?
Yes, that's where Rico is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where
Interesting.
Rico.
Interesting.
Yes.
I mean, I knew he was there, but I didn't know the whole neighborhood got
invited.
The whole
neighborhood was there. He didn't know either. That's like,
oh my God.
Coach. So, just a quick don't for recruiting. Couple of do's. We want to mention, do be involved. Do be there when they visit. Do help them fill out questionnaires.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do help them fill out questionnaires. Do help them understand what it takes to be an athlete, a college athlete. Explain to them when they look at these schools what it's going to be for them to go away from home and their opportunities to come back home, you know, and those things. Be supportive.
Wait a minute, let me go back.
Sure,
you just mentioned about that question there. Do know your coach's first and last name. Do not put Coach Lamont as your coach. I just had to go there. Okay, carry on.
No, go
okay.
ahead. I'm sorry.
Do
oh,
not
my
put
God.
Henrico as your city.
Lord have mercy.
I'm so glad we can laugh about this. It's serious, though.
Yes.
It is really serious.
Oh, boy.
Because you know what? Some things you really take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
That goes a lot.
Some things
you actually take for granted.
Uh-huh.
But
mm-hmm.
it's really that serious, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to break it all the way down.
Yes, please.
All the way down, because a lot of things that we just assume that people should know,
mm-hmm.
but how could they know?
May not
you know.
What you,
I mean?
Your child.
Like,
this is the first time you've had a child being recorded.
Them.
Yes,
this
mm-hmm.
really is new.
Yep.
And then this could be the first person in their family.
Yeah.
Going to college
yep.
or being recruited, especially
yes.
being recruited for a sport. Maybe
mm-hmm.
not always. Going to college,
but being
but
recruited.
That whole recruitment process is not the same as just deciding what college you
mm-hmm.
want to go to,
mm-hmm.
because it gets
help
yes.
us too.
Right. Because it really isn't a normal process
no.
that the average person is
like
going to
know it, it,
what
it
to
truly
do
is a
and
job.
How
it's
to
a
do it.
Job application and a job interview.
It
You're
is.
Absolutely
it
right.
Is.
Yes.
So you definitely want to sell yourself. Just as they're already interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they've reached out to you by questionnaire, by email,
text, all the stuff,
you know,
asking for a visit to the home.
Yeah,
yes.
and all that kind of stuff, they're already interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at that point, you've already sold yourself in your sport.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to, you know, you still want to make sure that you conduct yourself appropriately
mm-hmm.
during the course of that. You know, school your family, too,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes. Yes, thank
exactly.
you, Lamont. That's exactly. And one of the things we were about to stress in Coach Lamont Folsom.
Right. Know that last name. Know that last name. Lamont Folsom.
That's my kid.
When in doubt, ask. Questions. We cannot stress that enough. You know, we don't ever expect anybody to know everything. I mean, sure, we still learn some things.
We still learn, absolutely. We still learn things
all the
time. And then
NCAA rules change,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and all
just
kinds
in the last,
stuff.
What, 4 years since our kids were being recruited, things have changed.
Right.
Things change constantly with NCAA. So you have to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a parent who's never gone through this thing, don't be afraid to ask a question.
Right.
Please do not be afraid to ask a question. Ask the coach that your child is with.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the guidance counselors. Ask the career counselors. Ask the coaches who are coming in to talk to your children. Ask all the questions you want to answer, except for one. Don't ask this one. How much money are you giving me?
Right.
Don't
right.
ask that.
Yes.
You know.
No.
Don't ask how much money you're giving my child. Don't ask that. Just ask. What's it take for my child to get there? What kind of program do you have?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for in my child?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is it? And you ask the question. If you live here, like we say, we live in Virginia, and we have a coach coming to you from Missouri, you ask the question, how's my child going to get back and forth from Missouri? There's no direct flights to this where you live, where you're going. How does my child get back and forth? Can they get home in an emergency?
Right.
How do I see my child? Is this the first time my child's ever been away from home? How's that going to play out? I mean,
right. Don't
be afraid to ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the child is going to if it's a school right in your city, there's still questions you need to ask about coming home, you know, and being off campus. You may want to find out. There may be rules, or there may be coaches' rules that say, don't leave campus, don't go
right.
home.
That's
you know,
right.
you need to ask and find out for sure. Yes.
In that freshman year, too.
Yes, absolutely. So ask all those questions. Ask every single one. You know, I know people have said there's no question is a dumb question. They're truly in recruiting, there isn't really a dumb question for a parent to ask to find out about what's involving your child.
Right.
You know, it's your child. First and foremost, it's your child.
Mm-hmm.
You ask every single question you need to ask
right.
as far as involving your child, because that is your child. But again, the only one we ask you not to do is how much money you give my child.
Right.
Please
right.
don't do that. But yeah, and also don't have a whole name when it comes to that.
Right. I mean,
and know the coach's whole name. And know your address.
Yeah, not for a recruiting visit. Now, you want to have the whole neighborhood and everybody come for signing day.
Yes.
Once all that, you know, once the decision has been made, that the scholarship has been received and all of that, fine, but by all means, invite the whole neighborhood.
Yes, but...
But for just a coach's visit, they haven't made you an offer yet, or any of that, we're going to just say no. Oh, my goodness.
Core water.
Oh, wow.
Core waters.
Gotta love it.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. And again, we're talking about some kids, you know, again, these are kids who are just, they started the year off, people didn't know who they were.
Right.
And now here we are in the end of their junior year, going to a senior year. And
right,
these are kids.
Names.
Taking those for a few. Oh, no problem, Eric. Because my boy better be ready to go. And I saw them hurdles, and I'm going to fix that stuff, too. But but you should really understand, like, they're going to their senior year. And like we said, the kids we talked about earlier, India and China, have been on that big stage and been on that big and understood what was going on. Oh, man. Well, if we talked about our class, that our biggest and our monster class of class of 15, the one that we can say is the true one, where we had so many athletes come to the program, every single one of them got a scholarship to go to college.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. And the kids that are right behind them, the 3 years right behind them, every single one of those kids got a scholarship to go to to go to school, you know, for a sport. Every single one in that group got a scholarship to go to school. Every single one of them. So we've been through it with over 20-some-odd kids. We've been through the recruiting thing. We sat in with the coaches that come to visit. We've talked to parents. We've interviewed with the parents. We've been at almost every single signing period. And we got kids go across this nation, and we understand what it is. But the first thing we knew and the first thing we understand was teaching the kids the mental side of it.
Right, right.
Not to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding success. Yeah, you know I am. And understanding success is fleeting. You've got to keep working at it. You can't get complacent with success. Sometimes success is the biggest enemy to any athlete out there.
Right.
And we've seen it happen to so many athletes. And so many of them we've seen who've had great success, and then they got complacent. And across so many different sports, too.
Mm-hmm.
They got
mm-hmm.
complacent, and next thing you know, somebody kept working harder.
Oh.
And then you saw that athlete that you thought was going to be the star and going to be doing big things fell off because there was somebody else who was hunting them and kept working harder and worked harder and harder and harder, and they became the one that
you're
like,
wow. And you know another thing about this recruiting process, don't ever get too cocky.
Absolutely not, because it can be taken away.
And you know what? You think you got all the time in the world to keep yo-yoing with with all these different schools and all this, that, and the other, and trying to play hardball and this, that, and the other.
If you're interested in
that school, you don't necessarily have to commit immediately, but definitely express your interest.
Yes.
Don't feel like they have to come chasing you down. And
again, it's an interview. They're interviewing you as well. You know, they expressed interest in you. They want you to express interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't show them, you know, that you're truly interested, okay, guess
because
what? I'm moving on to somebody else.
And when they're interested in you, they're interested in the whole person.
Yes,
as you mentioned, they're interested in coming to your house, sitting down with you. I know even with my daughter and even with my son, for that matter, coaches that were really diehard about trying to recruit them came to Lila's volleyball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
She was doing volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
She wound up going for volleyball, but I'm saying track coaches came to her volleyball games.
Mm-hmm.
Football coaches came to my son's basketball games,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff like that. So they're interested in the whole person because they also want to see how do you conduct yourself.
Yes, yes.
Not just in that particular sport, but also just in general. They want to see you in your you know, in your what's the word I'm looking for? But
in your environment, and what you do,
in your own environment,
your world,
in
yes.
your home, mm-hmm. in your school, in your, you know, in every different way, because you know, because they are investing in you.
Mm-hmm. Guess what, parents? They're doing the same with you too.
Right.
They're
right.
doing the same with you too.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're interested in your child, they're interested in you as well. Now they're not going to come to your job.
Right.
And then they're going to come to your social setting. But when they interview your child, if they come to your visiting your home, they want to interview you too.
Right.
Because you're actually applying as well. You
right.
know, even though you don't think you are, you're applying as well because they want to know what stability we have, does this child have?
Right.
Is this going to be a rocky marriage with us and this child because parent influence? Maybe the parent's too influential. Maybe a parent doesn't have anything to do with the child. And coaches don't like that either because
right.
they want to be able to know someone is going to look out for the child. The child's like, my parents don't care. I'll do whatever I want. The coach's
well,
like, I can't have that.
For 1 year.
Yeah.
And
then
they drop out.
Yeah, I don't want that. But they also don't want a parent
too.
Who's like, golly, parent, I'm a coach. I think I've done pretty good things because I'm coaching this
right.
collegiate level. Can I coach your child?
Right.
Let me coach your child.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, well, you know, I need you to do this kind of thing because I think my child can be this and this and I've been working what I'm doing all stuff. You know what? If they're going off to college and he wants them to recruit, you have to let them go.
Right.
And you have to let the coach do what he does or
right.
she does. And if you're telling them what to do and how to coach your child, you're telling them they don't know what they're doing. And they can say, you know what? I don't know if I want to deal with this parent for 4 years.
And this is that why,
yeah.
you know, for real. At the at an early age, we kind of have to push parents back.
Mm-hmm. Sure
you know,
do.
Like,
sure
look,
do.
You know, when they start, who would say, I will never forget a girl lost a scholarship offer just on how she interacted with her parents and teammates. Yeah.
That attracted me. Absolutely, yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. It, you would not believe.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually right, Coach. You would not believe that things that can happen where a child has everything you think. They have the grades. They have the athletic scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
They have the interest from the team and the coach. And somebody who truly wants to give them a scholarship will come to a practice, and the kid won't know, or come to a meet and watch the kid interact and say, nope, no thanks. No. Call the coach and say, I'm sorry, coach, I got to pull it. I can't give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach says, why? And he tells him, like, I understand. Because the kid did not interact properly, or the parents interacted in a way that they said, I don't want this headache. You know, you are going to, you know, represent this school, this university, and I can't have you acting that way to represent this school. I'm not going to deal with it. Pull a scholarship. And it happens.
And
so it's an interview
what?
For both of you.
And we've had just the opposite happen as well,
mm-hmm.
where a person wasn't the top gun.
Yep.
You know, they
yep.
wasn't the top person, but because they were a hard worker, because their progression, you know, of their
mm-hmm.
progression year after year after year, they were
mm-hmm.
constantly getting better. Their work ethic, their grades,
mm-hmm.
their interactions with the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches have nothing but great things to say
mm-hmm.
about. Coaches have nothing but great things to say about a person, about this particular person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking of Jeremy.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Who didn't even have any offers whatsoever
oh.
until outdoor season of his
senior year. Yep.
And now he got down. He had options
yep.
even at that point because
yep.
Indiana Tech wanted to come and, you know, wanted him to come too. He wound up choosing Liberty.
Mm-hmm. And gosh, was that a great choice for him?
Yes, it was an awesome choice. And now here he's doing a decathlete, doing
yeah,
the decathlon.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, so he went from
couldn't even out jump
the girls. You know, was
but again, those girls were monster girls.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, we're talking about China and these girls. Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, you know, bunny hopping over the hurdle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
To that senior year, Coach Lewis. I mean, we just kind of wrapped ourselves around Jeremy because he was so
coachable,
intelligent,
so worked so hard. His teammates loved him.
Yeah.
His high school teammates loved him,
mm-hmm.
and they looked at him and they rallied to him and rallied behind him, and they saw him as the leader.
Right.
And what some of these coaches who were looking at other athletes saw this kid and said, well, tell me about him.
Right.
They said, tell me about him.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Don and other coaches mentioned and said, hey, this kid will work as hard, if not harder than anyone you have on the team. He will give you everything he has. and then he'll give you some more.
Yeah, this is the same kid who didn't even make the middle school team.
Exactly, he will, and he will still work, and he will be coachable, and he'll give you everything in the classroom, everything. And literally, his outdoor senior, his senior year in his outdoors, he got several offers. All because, he wasn't because he was the greatest, because of his work ethic, his mentality, and his interaction with his teammates and his family and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And coach said, this is the kind of kid I want to represent my school. And his senior year, and his outdoor senior year, he had several offers, and he chose Liberty University. And we both believe he made an absolutely great choice.
Oh, man, you can't and tell him nothing in that poll.
No.
Any place in the conference,
yes,
the first year doing
yes.
it, oh,
he,
my God,
and he just, he redefined
and
his
he
body. Yes, he redefined his body, everything, because he worked so hard, and the coaches believed in him. And they got the return on their investment in their
right.
freshman year,
yep.
showing what he was capable of doing. So it works both ways. You can
it
be
does.
The greatest athlete with the worst attitude and get nothing.
Right.
Or you can be a guy or a kid who works extremely hard, not be the greatest, but work extremely hard, be coachable, personable, and give it everything. And the coach will say, I want that kid. Yes, I want that kid on my team because they're going to do everything I ask and do what is best and represent this school at the highest level. And that's what happened with him.
Yep.
And he's doing big things there. So,
yeah.
And you're right, coach. That's right. Girl was doing everything, lost a scholarship, went to another school right close and gave a scholarship to somebody else because of their interaction, because of their attitude.
That is so crazy.
I mean, it's a shame that it happens, but you got to be, you know, you got to be in your P's and Q's. And so many things have changed these days. And sorry about that. Go ahead, it's all yours.
Oh, and then.
Rico.
And remember when.
Hey, let me call you right back.
How we had another young lady who, again, who had a little attitude problem, for lack of a better term. She was on our team at one point, and then she left and went to another team. You know who I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I
know.
Yeah,
to another
that,
team
yeah.
Who I'm talking, went to another team.
I just keep shaking my head.
She was a great athlete.
She
was really good, very, very talented. But she was one of those kids who every school she went to, how much money you giving me? How much money you
yes,
giving me?
I had the coach call me from a school who was really interested in her and wanted
mm-hmm.
to give her a full scholarship. And the coach said, tell me what you think. I said, and I gave him the truth. I told him exactly what was going on. I said, but I'm going to be honest with you. Be a little mindful, a little careful around her parents, her parent.
Yeah,
because,
I was going to say her mama crazy.
Because,
I didn't mean to say that. It's out now. The cat is out of the bag.
Well, anyway.
I didn't call names, though.
No, you didn't. But everybody knows us knows what we're talking about.
Right,
but
right.
That told the coach that, honestly, be a little mindful, be leery of the parent because
right.
she'll be shopping. She's going to be shopping. And sure enough, they offered her a full scholarship to a very nice university.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice university.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ready to bring her down there. And the mother called back and said, I need more money.
No, they didn't offer her 100%.
They offered her, that's right.
Right.
Minus
like
$5,000. Yeah,
yeah,
right,
it was
like
70%, but then
yeah.
they were going to supplement it
yep.
with
the academics and other money. We're going to give her other money so she wouldn't have to pay.
Right.
And the mother said, nope, I wanted more.
Right,
she wanted more.
Right, right.
And she wanted shopping the kid. And what happened, ended up saying, she was shopping her child and basically cost her child everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the child ended up at a school that she didn't want to go to
right.
and didn't perform. And basically, with the mother and all the influences, totally just gave away
yeah, I think
everything.
She's
else.
Back now.
She's back here.
I don't know. You're right. Right. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I don't think she went. I
no,
don't
she went there.
The
she went.
On.
She went there for a year.
Yeah.
Got in fights.
Right.
Came back.
Yeah.
Because the interaction, cause it wasn't what she wanted to be. It wasn't. And again, parents. You know, this your child is not a commodity for you.
Right.
This is their life. You know.
Right.
Again, you're the guiding
yeah.
person. You're a figure. You guide them through. But it's their lives. And don't shop your child.
Right.
What? Are you, they're not a commodity. Don't shop your
Let
child.
These kids do their research. This is what
yes.
when kids ask me, you know, about different what school do
uh-huh.
I think they should go to? I said, what school do you think you should go to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, what schools are you interested in?
Mm-hmm.
Have you checked, you know, have you checked, especially if they're talking about track.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, have you checked to see what the kids are doing in your event?
You check their time.
Right.
They
can you come in and contribute to
mm-hmm.
the team? Because they want you to come in contributing to their team at least the conference level
mm-hmm.
freshman year.
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't bring at least that much to the table,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a very challenging time
yep.
trying to convince someone to give you money.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
So you want to be mindful of that, A. The other part is that just does that particular school offer your major?
Yeah,
what do
you want to study?
Because you want to make sure that you're getting just as much out of the program or, you know, out of that school as they're getting out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because 9 times out of 10, most athletes aren't going to a professional level
right.
in that sport,
right.
whether it be track,
football,
basketball,
whatever
baseball, whatever it
right.
is.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you're getting something out of that school, just
yeah.
as much as out of that program as they're getting out
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, if you recall, those who watched us before, when we had our first recruiting, when we talked about scholarships, we told you less than 2% of all the athletes who go to NCAA make it to the professional level. And, of course, that number goes up and down based on the
mm-hmm.
sport,
mm-hmm.
but less than 2% of over 40,000, 50,000, maybe even 100,000 kids who play sports in college.
And on scholarships.
And on scholarships,
scholarships
go to professional level.
Athletes.
Right. We're talking about professional level. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be, they don't go. So your main reason to go to school is get an education.
Right.
So make sure you're going somewhere that you can get the education that you want so you can get in the field that you want to be in when you graduate.
Right.
And graduate.
Hello, Dante.
Hey, stop it.
Okay.
Graduate. No more names, please.
Look at here.
Oh, here comes the look at here.
I'm just saying.
Here comes the Noke. Here comes the Noke. Look at here. Oh, God.
You know, the school is paying for you to go. You are not leaving that school without a degree, period. And that's it. That's a personal testimony. Okay, let's keep the show moving. Yeah, I can talk about my own kids.
As we were saying, they're
on scholarship.
That's right.
I ain't paying for it.
All right, we're gonna flip the script before she loses her mind
right,
over here,
right.
and poor Dante
he gets
embarrassed
yesterday.
Going like crazy. Next week, we will be at the USATF Junior Olympics in mm-hmm. Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah.
The following week will be the AAU Junior Olympics in Davenport, Iowa. Something that old man Lou screamed about. Why do we have AAU and USATF doing two Junior Olympics? Money makes me crazy. It just, we don't have to do that. We really don't have to do that. Let's have the best be the best at one place and let everybody shine at one place and go for it. Stop taking people's money. Good Lord. But anyway, we'll be at USATF next year and next week
mm-hmm.
in Greensboro, North Carolina. We have 11 different athletes that will be going there who have, all of them have a great chance of being All-American. Top 8 become All-Americans. It's one of the premier showcases for youth track and field.
Yeah.
We got from eight and under, which can be anywhere from 5 years old, but usually about 8 years old, 7, 8 years old, all the way to 18 years old, will be competing
mm-hmm.
In several events, all the events, everyone you know, 1, 2, 4, 8, 1500, steeplechase, hurdles, long jump, high jump, triple jump, javelin, discus, shot put, everything you know about track and field, they'll all be competing, and these kids compete at the highest level. And so many of the kids Oh, no, you're fine. And these kids compete at the highest level. And many of the kids who win at these things go on to do big things in college
mm-hmm.
and also get to run on the pro circuit. You'll see a lot of them who are in USATF or AAU at the youth level are now collegians or Olympians.
Right.
And the list just goes on how many have done it, including Allison Felix and some of the other ones, like we just mentioned.
Sonya
did it. Yeah, and we're just talking about her favorite, Tia Jones, who was doing the whole time, who was just killing it when she was 10.
Man, this young girl is no joke.
Oh, stop hurting on the 800s. Those kids get better. Hey, Sam, with your wonderful superstar athlete, once you run in the 8 and under, stop moaning. She wouldn't be who she was if she wasn't running at 8
well,
and under.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lila, surprisingly, she was like ranked 6 or something
yeah,
like that.
I remember
that.
Yeah. 8.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun.
Yeah,
they got there, scratched all the jumps,
so that's
another story.
But so that's what we'll be next week. We're excited about it. Like I said, we got a lot of athletes competing. Again, we got from the youth 8 all the way at 8 years old, all the way up to 18
yeah,
years old.
Numbers.
So we got across We were crossbow. We got little errors. We got little errors in the long jump. Stop hurting. Stop hating. Little errors in the long jump. Alex in the 800. 8-year-old won the 800.
Yes.
We've got kids 11, 12 running 4x8 relay. 4x8, Sam. We got one running 4x8, 11, 12. Don't hate. We got 13, 14. We got 15, 16. And then we got the high school kids competing in the hurdles,
yes.
High jump, long jump, triple jump.
Yeah, and Jada's
shot put.
15, 16.
And she does.
Yeah.
Yep, and 200. So we got them across the board. We're excited. A lot of them, this will be their first time. Other than Jada, this will be the first time for everyone except for one. No, two. Devin, too. So,
well,
Key and Dre, that's right, at a younger age. Our show, that's time. I'm sorry. Sorry for the delay. Yeah, I know. We'll talk about your athlete next week, Sam. We will see you next week in Greensboro, North Carolina. We will be broadcasting from Greensboro and the USATF Junior Olympics. So we will see you next week. Have a good evening, everybody.
All right. Peace out.